It's good to be back in Cleveland. Most of you know I had the blessing to be out of town in 75-degree weather for a little while. It didn't seem quite as long as it was. It passed very quickly. I missed all this ice and snow and freezing temperatures. Amen. If you believe that, I have a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you. But I'm not joking about missing each one of you guys. I'm very, very happy to be back. Courtney tells me on like day 5 of our vacation, she says, "Baby, I really like being with you, but I got to tell you, I got homesick on day 1. I said, "You know what, honey, I did too." On Wednesday, we drove 4 hours north of Phoenix to visit one of God's most beautiful creations, the Grand Canyon. We toured around the beautiful south rim of the canyon. Brother, you can just kill these monitors. They're echoing up here for me. And we drove over to tour the Desert View Watchtower, about 30 minutes to an hour east of that. From this tower, you could see across the canyon for miles, and you could see nearly to the other side. And it was such an amazing view. You look down from the tower, and you think you've seen the bottom of the canyon, and then it just, you look over to the right a little bit, and it goes down a little bit farther. And it seems like you can never find the bottom of the tower. This tower was built to resemble, you can go ahead and throw it up, brother. This tower was built to resemble ancient Pueblo towers from which watchmen could see an enemy approaching from a long ways off and have plenty of time to warn the community that he was responsible for warning. I'm sure you've heard sermons before about God giving us our pastor to be a watchman for the church to look out for our souls. Amen? I'm very thankful for that. Hebrews 13 and 17 tells us, "Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them a reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow." That would certainly not be for your benefit. But he has also called each one of us to watch for the souls of those he has placed in our lives. The family, the friends, the co-workers, the neighbors that you may have never met. He's called you to be a watchman for them. We are called to minister and to speak into the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Matthew 25, 31 through 46 says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it unto one of these, the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.' Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for you, for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me.' Then they will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?' And he will answer, 'I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life.'" Young people, you are called to help each member of your youth group reach heaven. Notice I said your youth group. This is not my youth group. This is not Brother Nick's youth group. This is not Brother Alejandro's youth group. Take ownership of it. This is my youth group. And make it priority number one in your life to help each other reach heaven. If you see your brother or sister showing up less than normal or not displaying the joy of the Lord like they used to, spend some time in prayer for them and spend some time fellowshipping with them, and let them feel the joy of the Lord flowing from you. In Philippians 2 and 4 says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." Saints of God, this goes for us too. Not just the young people. We need to open our eyes to the needs of the saints of God sitting next to me, sitting behind me. They have struggles in their life and their walk with God, just like I do. And they need my prayers, just like you and I do. Sometimes I sit and I ask myself, when was the last time I prayed for a brother or sister in the church? Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, when was the last time that we talked to God about the needs of someone other than ourselves or our immediate family? It's amazing how the problems in our life get so much smaller when we look past them. We look around the needs of ourselves, and we look to the needs of a brother or sister in Christ. And those needs of ours that look so big right up close, they suddenly fade away. And they don't look quite as big. And I promise you that my spiritual victory and your spiritual victory will come when we look past that. And we look past how God can help us and look and see how He can not only help someone else, but how He can help them through me. When God sees us being watchmen in the lives of those around us, He becomes so much more interested in preserving us and preserving our spiritual well-being so we can help others. Because He knows if I bless this brother or this sister, they're going to let it flow through them to somebody else. Before I can be a watchman, before you can be a watchman, we must count the cost of building our watchtower. Am I really ready to sacrifice some things in my life to see souls of those that I love saved? It's a question we must ask ourselves. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 through 30. And the New King James Version says, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all those who see it being mocked, begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" When you go to do something for God, God will require something of you. You will have to get some things out of your life that you may not be comfortable with. God gives us so many blessings, but they don't come free. He has His promise, but each one of His promises come with, "If you will, then I will." Things that distract you from representing Christ are going to have to go. Things that tempt you to sin, they're going to have to go. Things that fill you with pride and make you think you can do this without Him, they're going to have to go. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly and to love kindness and mercy and to humble yourself and walk humbly with your God." "Oh, Nate, that's no big deal. That just sounds like, you know, all peaches and cheese. I can do that. I just got to be a good person and I'll make heaven. Just got to be a good person and I'll be okay. And I love kindness. I love mercy." Let's take a quick look at this. This verse could also read, "He has showed you, O man, what is right and satisfactory to Him. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do what is morally upright or good, and to love being kind, and love grace and compassion, and not think of yourself as better than anyone else, and walk without pride with your God." It says there that we have to love mercy. We have to love compassion, not just for ourselves. We have to love it as an idea. We have to love it as, I have to love showing mercy, showing kindness and compassion to people. That I love doing it. It gets me excited to show compassion when someone makes me angry or someone hurts me. Oh my goodness. When someone hurts me, I need to love showing them mercy and showing them compassion. We can't do that with pride. Pride will make you think that you're better than the brother or sister sitting next to you. And when they hurt you, they don't deserve mercy from me. Pride will also make you think that, oh, well, that brother or sister right there, they're black or they're white or they're Hispanic. And they'll make you think you're racially superior. And that, oh, well, I could never marry that person. I could never be that person's friend because they're a different race from me. They're different than me. In a church like ours, God has blessed us with so much diversity in our church. We have to say, pride can't stay here. Pride can't tear apart my youth group and my church. I need to say, God, help me to love mercy and love compassion in my life. I can't have these things holding me back. I talked to the young people in our prayer right before service. I said, you need to ask God when you come in here tonight. Say, God, ask what David did, where he said, God, search me, know me, and test me. And say, help me find something in my life to take it out that stands between me and you that hurts. Not just an easy thing that I can just come in and get a little closer to God and feel better, but take something out that hurts, because when it does that, it's going to leave a big gap in your heart. And if you do that in this house, he's going to fill that place, and you're going to be that much closer to him. We must take ourselves out of first place in our lives and put Jesus in that first place slot if we're going to build our tower to save our loved ones from hell. We need to count the cost. Not just the cost of building my tower, but I need to count the cost of not building my tower. Without my watchtower, without making the necessary sacrifices in my life, then my family and my friends will go to hell. They might go to hell, not they're probably going to go to hell. They will go to hell if you don't build your tower. The cost of building your watchtower is much, of not building your watchtower is much greater than the cost of building it. Count the cost. Uzziah became king of Judah at age 16, and the Bible says that he did right in the Lord's sight. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, 3 through 5 says Uzziah was 16 years old when he began his 52-year reign in Jerusalem. His mother was Jecolah of Jerusalem. He did right in the Lord's sight to the extent of all his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the things of God. And as long as he sought of or inquired of or yearned for the Lord, God made him prosper. I want to emphasize two things from this passage. Number one, remember the verse 4 tells us that Uzziah did what was right in the Lord's sight to the extent his father had done. Essentially, he did everything right that he knew to do. And we're going to see in a minute how this affects his life. The second thing I want you to notice in verse 5 tells us, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. This verse gives us a little insight of what's coming for King Uzziah. While he did what God commanded, he prospered. God made him to prosper. Again, back to God's promises. If you will, then I will. 2 Chronicles 26, 8 through 9 says, the Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread abroad to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Also, Uzziah had built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, the valley gate, and at the angle of the wall, and fortified them. So Uzziah was doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. His country was strong and his fame was spreading. Uzziah even built towers to protect his city. And another verse mentions later on that he built towers in the wilderness. This would give him an even greater warning of anything coming against him and his country. He said, not only can I see from right here, I got people out there that can let me know something's coming. Uzziah was getting very prepared for anything to come against his country. It looks like things are going great for Uzziah. But do you remember verse 4? 2 Chronicles 28:6 and 4 says, he did the right in the Lord's sight to the extent his father Amaziah had done. 2 Chronicles 25 and 14 says, after Amaziah came back from the slaughter of the Edomites, he brought their gods and set them up to be his gods and bowed down before them and burned incense to them. In those days, the Lord had restricted the burning of incense to the priests. But Uzziah's father, he had just defeated these people. And he went and he took their gods and brought them back to his house and set them up. And he began burning incense to them. He said, I'm going to take the place of the priest in my home. I'm not going to listen to the pastor. And he taught his children this, that you don't need to listen to the pastor. You can burn your own incense. And so the preacher comes by one day and says, Amaziah, what are you doing here? He said, God gave you victory over these people. So why do you bring the gods of a people? They couldn't protect their own people. Why are you bringing them back to your house? And Amaziah ignored him and told his soldiers, take this man out of here. And he began to continue to do wrong. 2 Chronicles 26:14, but when King Uzziah was strong, he became proud to his destruction. And he trespassed against the Lord his God. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Uzziah learned from his father, you don't need the preacher in your life. You don't need the pastor in your life. Go burn your own incense. So he come in there to burn incense. The preacher comes up to him with all the other men of God behind him and said, Uzziah, you don't belong here. This is not your job. This is the job of the preacher. Don't take authority where it doesn't belong to you. And Uzziah became wroth, the Bible says, and became angry at him. And the scripture says that leprosy began to fill his forehead and to cover him. And he became unclean and could never step foot in the house of God for the rest of his life. You may note that Uzziah did not resort to his father's sinful actions until he became full of pride. And you may wonder, where did this pride come from in Uzziah's life? The Bible says he did right in the Lord's sight. Where did this pride come from? Before Uzziah conquered his enemies, before he dug his wells and built his cities, before he built his towers, and he failed to count the cost. He failed when it came to getting rid of some things that God required he get rid of in his life. 2 Kings, right after it talks about Uzziah doing right in the Lord's sight, it tells us where Uzziah went wrong. In verse 4 it says, except the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burned incense still on the high places. Uzziah failed to remove the temptation to sin from his life. He failed to remove the distractions from the high places in his kingdom that took his eyes away from God and directed them toward his own human ability. Because of this, he was filled with pride. And the scripture goes on to tell us that God struck him with leprosy in the temple because of his pride. After Uzziah died, his son Jotham became king. He had been acting king throughout the years of Uzziah's reign when he was filled with leprosy. And when his dad died, he took over. 2 Chronicles 27:1-4 says, Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother, Jerusha, daughter of Zadok, he did right in the sight of the Lord to the extent of all that his father Uzziah had done. However, he did not invade the temple of the Lord, but the people still did corruptly. He built the upper gate of the Lord's house and did much building on the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in the hill country of Judah, and in the forest he built forts and towers. He learned his lesson about burning the incense from watching what happened to his dad. But still, he did right to the extent his father had done. Verse 2 says, the people still did corruptly, even though Jotham is doing right. Why is this? Well, just as scripture says, the sins of the father go to the third and the fourth generation. Right now we're on generation number 3. 2 Kings 15:34-35 says, he did right in the Lord's sight according to all that his father Uzziah had done, yet the high places were still not removed. And the people sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. And the scripture before it told us the people still did corruptly. We see the high places in the kingdom are still full of sin. Look at the effect this has on Jotham's child. 2 Chronicles 28:1-5 says, Ahaz was 25 years old when he began his 16-year reign in Jerusalem. He did not do right in the sight of the Lord like David his father. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and even made molten images for the Baals. And he burned incense in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, son of Hinnom, and burned his sons as an offering. after the abominable customs of the heathen nations whom the Lord drove out before the Israelites. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places on the hills and under every green tree. Therefore the Lord his God gave Ahaz into the power of the kings of Syria, who defeated him and carried him away, a great multitude of the Jews as captives, taking them to Damascus. He was also delivered into the hands of the king of Israel, who smote Judah with a great slaughter. Because the high places were not cleaned out, we now see a king that fully embraces them and is even sacrificing his own children as burnt offerings to sin. Dabbling with sin led to sin owning the children of not just the king, but of the whole nation. Because Uzziah did not clean out the high places, then Jotham did not clean out the high places. They allowed their children to live in an environment full of sin, the people that were following sin. They allowed their children to hang out with people that were bad influences. As we learned this morning, we need to watch out for the influences that we keep for ourselves. But parents, you need to watch out for the influences you allow your children to be around. If you can decide, I'm going to make my child go to school and learn, you can decide, I'm going to make my child be in church to save his or her soul from hell. Uzziah did not clean out the high places, so Jotham did not clean out the high places, so Ahaz did not clean out the high places. The sin had gone down to the fourth generation, and the fifth generation was being burned as sacrifices to the devil. 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and 19, for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For Ahaz had dealt with reckless cruelty against Judah and had been faithless, had transgressed sorely against the Lord. Because of Uzziah not cleaning out the high places, now the whole country had been taken captive. The whole country, the Bible said, the Lord brought them all low because of one man's sin. And we see this again in verses 22 and 23. It says, in the time of his distress, he became still more unfaithful to the Lord, the same King Ahaz. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which defeated him. For he said, since the gods of the kings of Assyria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and all of Israel. There was a king who got it right, though. His name was Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, 1 through 6 says, Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in Asa's stead and strengthened himself against Israel. He placed forces in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked at first in the ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals. But he sought and yearned with all of his desire for the Lord, the God of his father, and walked in his commandments and not after the ways of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he had great riches and honor. His heart was cheered, and his courage was high in the ways of the Lord. And moreover, he took away the high places in the Asherim out of Judah. Jehoshaphat, it says, sought and yearned with all of his desire for the Lord. More than anything, he wanted to be like his God. He took himself out of first place and said, I know who's supposed to be there. I'm going to put him in first place. Then it says, he counted the cost and he removed all the sins and the distraction from himself and all the temptation for pride in his life and the kingdom that God had trusted him with. The scripture before says that he had become great, he'd become powerful. But he knew, I have to get these temptations for pride and sin out of my life, or this is going to be my destruction. Then he built his tower. 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and 12 says, and Jehoshaphat grew and became exceeding great, and he built in Judah houses like towers and walled cities. If we could stand here. As I was touring around the great room of the Desert View Tower, there were objects hanging on the side of each window with a darkened glass that resembled the effect of looking into sunglasses. I read the placard next to one of them, and it went on to explain that these were called reflectoscopes. And I said that these are sheets, it said these are sheets of black onyx that reflect images like a mirror. And reflectoscopes, a reflectoscope was invented by a guy named Claude Lorraine. He was a 17th century French landscape painter. Because the dark glass makes colors appear more vivid, visitors could use them to gain an unusual view of the canyon's color rock features. I looked into several of these because I wanted to test it out. I wanted to see the difference of the view from each window in the tower. And it was true. The colors did appear more vivid, and I got a better view of the canyon, and I could see down in places that the sun had kind of cast shadows and faded out. It took all that away, and I could see the canyon how it was meant to be seen. And I could see it in the way you've seen a lot of paintings thanks to these reflectoscopes. On the ride home, I began to think how true this is in my life. There are times when I don't even notice high places that have grown up in my life. High places that I've let become filled with sin or pride or distractions. And I wouldn't notice this until it was too late if I was looking through my own sight. But if I, like Jehoshaphat, seek and yearn with all of my desire for the Lord, then I'll be looking at my life from His view. The Lord's view eliminates all the brightness and the distraction and the noise cast around my life by sin and by distractions that I've allowed in there. And when I look in there, I can see, God, show me that place. And I can ask, like David asked, God, search me, know me, and test me. Take away that sin or that high place. Pull it out even if it hurts, because it's not worth it. Because I have to count the cost. What is the cost of not plucking that thing out of my life? And what is the cost after I've plucked it out of not building my tower? Because there's souls that depend on me whether I like to think that or not. Whether I like to see that and I like to know that in my life. There are people that will never know about Jesus if I don't clean out the high places in my life. And my child on the way is not going to know any more than I teach them. If I don't teach them to clear out the high places, she's not going to know. If I don't teach her how to search for God, how to seek God, and how to follow authority and how to accept authority in her life, she won't know. And that'll become a hindering block to her later.